Good morning.
Morning, Curtis.
Morning.
Okay, how's everybody doing?
Great.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. I can't complain. Of course, we're out here, and there's heat and fires going on in California everywhere. So that's kind of one of the things that's happening. But I'm not too close to it, and you know, not in any danger. But I just kind of am concerned about all the other folks. This place is starting to go up in flames on a regular basis. So it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Now, what county are you in?
I'm in Alameda County, which, you know, I can get to San Francisco in about 45 minutes, San Jose 30 minutes, and, you know, basically Contra Costa County in about 15. Which is
nice.
Danville, Alamo, Walnut Creek. Napa is probably a good hour drive to get into Napa Valley. And of course there's the Livermore Valley, which is, kind of where I am. And those wineries, including Minty Brothers, are probably, 10 minutes away.
So you're south of Palo Alto then?
I would say more east of Palo Alto and Stanford and all of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because basically, if I go down towards San Jose, Palo Alto would be west, you know, a little west of that. So it's all the Bay Area, all mega traffic, crowded. You just basically get in your car and get in line.
Yeah, it's a neat area, though.
Yeah, oh, it's so diverse. The microclimates, it's nothing is the same. You know, everywhere you go, it's really different.
Yeah.
That's one of the unique aspects of it.
How long do you live there?
Well, you know, I started my career, at Merrill in 78 in San Francisco as a financial advisor.
Uh-huh.
I left in 84 to go into management with my first stop in Washington, D.C. And it took me 20 years to really come back to this area where I came out and I ran the Pacific West region.
Mm-hmm.
Which was headquartered in San Francisco. But I was on airplanes and in my car, you know, for quite a bit of that time between Oregon, Washington, Alaska, Idaho, Utah, Montana, Hawaii, Guam. You know, I had all those private client offices, plus all of the private wealth offices, I had the institutional middle markets business and the Asia Pacific business.
Holy cow, that's a lot.
It was a lot. The guys that run the regions and the divisions now don't have as much of those responsibilities anymore. But that's kind of how it was for me, and it was a lot of territory to try to cover. But, you know, back then, you know, we were doing over $1 billion in revenue, and among the 10 regions, there was only maybe 1% separating, you know, each of the 10.
Wow.
So, needless to say, you know, got a lot of opportunity to do, a lot of things over the years, which, you know, I was having a lot of fun. I think in some ways though, you kind of wish that you, you know, knew the neighborhood grocer and there were people that you grew up high school with and college with, but that's not the case for me. These folks are scattered all over the place.
Well, maybe too, you have time to sort of circle back around. I know, you know, I'm 50 years old, and there's sort of folks that I lost contact with, and I didn't really want to lose contact with, but it just happens over time, and it's not intentional. It's just you get busy, you know, and we all have these sort of busy lives we lead, and so you know, I got a little more intentional about reaching back out to folks that I'd sort of lost that contact with, and it's kind of fun to reconnect, you know.
Oh, it is. In fact, this week I heard from an FA that I hired in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and you know, he called and reconnected, and you know, he's you know, doing extremely well. I heard from one in Washington, D.C., who I hired. You know, this guy's doing, you know, the three people on his team, I all hired in 1985.
Oh, wow.
And it's a big, big team, and they're quite successful.
Together.
Yeah, they stayed together. And those things are fun. And then I've got some personal relationships that are just literally in pretty much every state I've ever lived. So, you know, I've moved 16 times in my life. Eight as an Army brat and another eight corporate moves. But San Diego's home. And so I've got to go down there. And San Diego is a fun place. Beautiful beaches. You know, they're doing more to create a city environment, and they got sports teams, although one, the football team, left and went to Pasadena. I think, though, down there, there's competition with the weather, the beaches. People go to the desert. There's a lot of competition for leisure activities down there.
Right.
Yeah, so that's well and good. But thanks for asking. So look, we wanted to you know, stop for a moment and think about your agenda, what we're doing. We had some pretty good conversations, you know, on nonprofits, you know, and business development. So, you know, tell me what's on your agenda, what's on your mind, in terms of, you know, what we've covered thus far, and if there's any concerns, we'll deal with that first, and then you can give me a little bit of an update.
Yeah, let me give you the update, and then I want Bridget to jump in, too, if she's got any thoughts. But and also wanted to let you know, she might have told you, or probably didn't, because I've had my head buried this morning, so I didn't really communicate well with Bridget on this, but Audra's about 2.5 hours away right now. Her father got admitted to hospice, and so she's with her sister and one of her sisters helping with some caregivers and things this morning. So, she's not going to be able to join us today, but I'm taking call notes, and I'll make sure that...
Yeah, well, the call is recorded, and she can hop on and... You'll get a link. Yeah, you'll get a link, and she can pop in on that call whenever it's comfortable for her.
Excellent. Okay, nice.
So my sympathy and empathy to her and the family.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And you know, we're dealing with it, and it's just you know, it's one of those things, and so we just keep moving forward, and it's all good. I mean, there's not any, you just kind of have to make the best of whatever situation you're in and drive on, you know. But jumping over into the business stuff, I think generally things are going pretty well. There's some things mm-hmm. that I'll touch on here in a little bit. I want to kind of talk about things that are going well and then maybe some areas that I need to put a little more elbow grease into.
Okay.
But let's talk about the good stuff first.
Okay.
I've got good news on the acquisition front. We've got we've got a meeting tomorrow with a plan that's a nice little plan. It's got about $12 million in it. We're working, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on the details, but it's looking very positive just because we're working with some of the current providers and offering some services for this particular plan that they're not currently mm-hmm. getting. So that looks like that opportunity could be a nice one. I'm going to know a lot more about it as we continue in our discussions tomorrow. It's about 2 hours down the road. We have another one that is a similar, almost identical situation that we're being introduced into that's about a $3 million deal. So together, it's about $15 million in AUM. And they're in our retirement plan wheelhouse. I mean, they're in an area of the market that we have a niche in currently.
Okay.
And we're expanding on that niche. And so those are two nice opportunities there. The calls, I think, are going well. I think I mentioned in last month's call that we're making a big long-term care push, and we've done the next round of sort of follow-up and putting together illustrations on all those and everything. And right now we've got about 15 cases on long-term care. So, you know, I don't know that we'll close every single one of them, but I feel pretty confident that we're going to get mm-hmm. north of 80 to 90% of these things.
Just a quick point. Just a quick point. I mean, you know, as we get older, this long-term care scenario starts to make more and more sense, and you are like living proof going through it with a family member.
I just tell them the stories, you know. I tell them true stories, and, you know.
Yeah.
And not to sound like a victim or anything. It's just I don't ever take that tack with them, but I just say, look, you know, here's some things to think about. And what's kind of nice about the conversations we're having is we have a partner. He's really good at it. He's done it for a long time. He's our insurance specialist that I was telling you about in prior calls that we're weaving into the team. And he's worked with RBC Advisors for a little over 10 years. He's from New York originally. He moved to Austin about 14 months ago. He's got two teenage sons. He's been in the insurance business for about 28, 29 years. And he's really, really good. And so he's really been instrumental in helping us with those initiatives. I went through the rest of the book, and I think there's probably about halfway through our initial round of calls with those in terms of, you know, I would say there's about 15 cases there, and then there's potentially another 10 to 12 cases. So I think over the next quarter, I think we're going to probably be doing a significant amount of long-term care business because all the calls have been going really well. We're not getting anybody saying, no, you know, go away, I'm not interested. I think most of them are going to go through the process of qualifying, and it looks working very positive. So it's a really nice thing because it fits well with the structure of Supernova, and Bridget's been really, really good about helping us with the just the organization of everything and keeping us organized, and that's been very helpful as well. Beyond that, I think what I'm really, really excited about is some of the things that we're doing to kind of take some of these ideas that were kind of in skeleton form and putting some meat on the bones. A couple of minutes and just kind of share with you a couple of things that we've done there. On the nonprofit front, we've developed a relationship with an auditor of nonprofits. His firm is is very, very substantial here in South Texas. They audit not only endowments and foundations, but they also audit retirement plans. Mostly in the public space on the retirement plan side, which is interesting because both of those two plan opportunities that I mentioned a minute ago, the two that are $15 million plans, are public sector plans. So it's a really defined niche, and to be able to sort of take our niche and take it to him is really nice. And he's a guy that I've had a personal relationship with for about 7 years.
Oh, wow. So he's a center of influence then.
Absolutely. I mean, when we met for lunch last time, I mean, he's a CPA. He's a partner in his firm, and Carmona Schreiber is the name of the firm here in San Antonio, and he's Chris Carmona. But I went through a very personal experience with him about 7 years ago where we went through a program. We're both Catholic. Not that it matters, but we went through this 4-day retreat together as retreatants, and then we ended up becoming counselors in subsequent retreats, and we're on a team together. And and then we just kind of one day figured out, oh my gosh, you're auditing this and I'm doing that. And we really didn't, I mean, I knew he's a CPA, but I didn't really have an in-depth discussion with him about it. Well, long story short, we met for 2 hours and he was like, I really want to start, referring business. And so I found another business partner that's very active in the areas that Chris is active in. And we're meeting together, and I'm hoping that we can build that structure to sort of meet on a regular basis. I'm a little bit concerned that maybe monthly is too frequent, but I'd welcome any thoughts you have on that. And then there's three other relationships that we've developed that I think are quality COI relationships. One of them's with a CPA that I've worked with for 15 years, who's in Corpus Christi. And he's the partner in charge of a firm that he's the partner in charge of a local branch of a firm. It's the 16th largest CPA firm in the U.S. They've got offices throughout about a dozen or so states. And he met with David Gasworth, who's our insurance guy I was telling you about earlier. And he met with David and I for lunch. And he's agreed to put us on their CPE calendar where their whole firm meets once a year for a whole week of CPE. And we're going to do a 90-minute presentation to all the CPAs in the firm. So he's also agreed to allow us to go out and get defined benefit plan prospects and bring it to him. He said, if you find some DB plans in Shreveport, Louisiana, or someplace like that, he goes, I've got partners that are partners in the firm in all those cities. And he goes, if we're auditing those plans, we'll take you to our clients and introduce them to you as plan auditors.
Wow. That's a great center of influence.
Yeah. And so, and he's a friend. Chris, he's really, it's kind of a friendship thing first, the business thing is second, but he's been very, very helful and willing to introduce us in, and he's like, just bring us the names. So I won't go into great detail, but I'm working with some other folks in the industry where we're getting very intentional about finding prospects that would fit his description and then bringing those contacts to him, and he's going to help facilitate introductions. We're really excited about that. So those are two CPAs. We also have two insurance people that don't do the kind of insurance that David does. One of them's property and casualty insurance, and he's here in San Antonio, and he did about $35 million in revenue last year. And so he's a pretty substantial property and casualty insurance firm, and he and his assistant want to start offering retirement plans to their clients, so they want to have us basically work with them as a plug and play with their firm to offer those services. And then the fourth COI we've got is a guy that So it's Chris Carmona, Rodney Centerfit, Boyd Ray was a guy I just mentioned in the PNC realm. This other gentleman is on the healthcare insurance realm, and he works for a bank here in South Texas. It's got 65 branches. It's called IBC Bank. Mm-hmm. And he's agreed to get with his two top PNC guys because they sell PNC insurance as well and facilitate introductions. Because he formerly worked as a third-party administrator. He's now working in the healthcare insurance realm. And he's agreed to share client information just like Boyd has. So we're working with them. And basically what I told Brandon, his name's Brandon Spears, I said, I mean, this might sound a little schmaltzy, but I just told him, I said, look, for every introduction you do, I'll introduce you to two. I'll do a one for two trade with you. And he was like, okay, all right, I'll get rid of it.
How can you say no?
Like, but I think I can do that because I'm like, I got 35 retirement plans. They all need group health insurance. I mean, it's a pretty easy, you know, hey, this guy's going to come in and just do a review to see if you're getting all that you could be getting kind of thing. So, but that's the four major COIs that we have right now. So two of them are CPAs. And two of them are insurance people, one in property and casualty, the other one in healthcare, group healthcare. So two of them have agreed to do effectively what would be like an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, where they share client information.
Right.
And the other two I'm working on facilitating, you know, introductions. Them. We're just in different stages of kind of working out the details on that. What I probably need help on more than anything at this stage is sort of building a structure around sort of the best ways to sort of take those next steps with the COI. We don't necessarily have to cover it in today's call, but I just am saying, you know, we're getting traction with these four, and I think they're very serious about doing something. And I need to make sure that I'm following a process that is going to help make sure that those relationships mature in the right way. If that makes sense.
That does make sense. I won't go deep.
I've done a lot of COI marketing in the past. That's the thing. So I'm kind of it's kind of new to me, if you will. But in addition to that. The other two things, kind of jumping from COIs to other things, we've gotten a database through a company called GuideStar. We're starting that subscription on July the 1st. It gives us access to all the nonprofit, you know, accounts that are out there as far as these would be non-retirement plan nonprofits, the endowment foundation money.
Yeah.
And building a niche there, and I'm working right now as well with our corporate office in Minneapolis. I had a really great call with them 2 days ago where we've got two different people assigned to us to help us build out our improve our website, which in my opinion could use a lot of work, and to get our LinkedIn and online presence built out in a meaningful way because we don't really have that right now. And I know that's been a subject on prior calls. So actually have
that's the social media component.
Yeah, the social media component, which we're really missing right now. And then we needed to update our sort of broader marketing material for our Mini-Me folders, so they're helping us with that as well. So I think all those initiatives we can probably get online and wrap up in the next 30 days. We're doing our calls. We're doing our regular process of all that. And so I think things are going pretty well. The only thing that we kind of have a little bit of a hiccup on right now that I can tell, I mean, Bridget might have some other thoughts on this too, so I want her to weigh in. So I'm doing all the talking here. But Audra's had to really dedicate a lot of time to personal things because of her father's situation. So, we miss having her, you know.
Yeah, sure.
That's that's just been but that's
she has the accountability for the planning component.
Yeah, but she's actually staying abreast on all of that. You know, and what I was doing was and I still plan to do this, and she's very on board with it, is I just wanted to take as much of the existing retirement plan business and move it over to her to where she's running those plans from an operations standpoint, because then it frees up time for me to go out and bring in more business. We're still going to do that, and I think we're going to do that in the next I haven't really set a deadline on that because of her father's situation. I don't want to pile too much up on her in the midst of that. But she very much wants to make that transition. It's just a matter of time and making sure that we put our priorities in the right order. So it's moving along. Things are moving along. Are they moving as fast as I want them to? No. Am I doing as well as I want to? No. But I think one of the things we're going to do to increase accountability is Bridget put together a little nice marketing activity sheet that I'm going to go over in our monthly meetings. We do meet once a month, and I'm going to hold myself accountable that way. But I feel really good about the future. I mean, I think a lot of the things that we've had to deal with in the past, I mean, Bridget's had some healthcare issues personally, Otter's had some healthcare issues personally, family members that are dealing with healthcare issues on both sides, they've just both had a hell of a year. Last 12 months has been a meat grinder for them. So, anyway, but we're getting through it and we're doing well, I think. I mean, it's not sure up to the numbers yet, but I think we'll finish the year pretty strong. And I just feel like, you know, we need your help. We're moving forward. And I'm just kind of figuring it out as I go based on, you know, what I know.
Well, the seeds that you're planting are definitely going to bear fruit. Your focus on these COIs, I just think that it's always going to be in your DNA, what I know about you, that, you know, you're never going to be overwhelmingly satisfied. You're always going to find a way to get better and do better. So that's just in your DNA. But I have to say, I'm really impressed with the level and the quality of relationships that you are building. That's quite impressive. Your team is just doing, you know, an outstanding job. And, my hat's off to you. I just, you're just such an easy team to work with. You absorb this stuff and you put it to work.
Let me share one thing. I left out one really important thing now. And I meant to mention it and I didn't. And had I been a little more organized this morning, I would have mentioned it. But I've got this cool thing. And I mean, I'm really, really excited about this. And it sounds kind of simple, and it is, but it's cool stuff. So about 6 months ago, maybe it was 8 months ago, I don't know. I've been looking at this thing too long and not doing anything with it. But I was brainstorming with Audrey and Bridget one day, and I was thinking about, you know, well, where could we build some business and what could we do? And it was pre-GuideStar and some of these other things that we mentioned earlier. And this is just, to me, a great initiative story. So anyway, I kind of monkeyed around online with something and figured out, I was trying to find a list of C corporations for reasons I won't go into for the purposes of what I'm about to say. And I took this information to Bridget, and she ran with it. And basically what she did was she built this really cool book of, like, all of the publicly traded companies in Texas. Mm-hmm. Now, some of these companies, a few of them are, like, companies you've heard of, like AT&T or, you know.
Right.
A couple of energy companies that are household names, like Exxon or whatever. But most of these are companies you've never heard of. But they're publicly traded, okay?
Okay.
So probably never heard of El Paso Electric Company or Dawson Geophysical or
Dawson has heard.
I mean, none of these companies are like, okay, here's one you've heard of, American Airlines. But most of these, I'd say 90% of them are like companies you've never heard of, but they publicly trade. Okay, so she prints out all the contact information, and then she goes and she digs up the CFO's name, phone number, and in walks this group from, you're going to laugh because it tells you a little bit about the difference in culture between Merrill and RBC.
Okay.
I had this book. Like, I can look down here, and I know that there's Texas Pacific Land Trust Company in Dallas, Texas. It's publicly traded. I can go to their website because she looked up their website, too. I've got the phone number to the CFO, Robert Packer. Okay.
Right.
So in walks this group from RBC. They're actually in our San Francisco office. They're called Corporate Executive Services.
Okay.
And they're in their nascent form. I mean, they're little bitty right now.
Right.
But basically what they've got is they've got middle market M&A, which we had introduced them to a firm that they onboarded there, which we work with for our clients that are selling businesses. And then they brought in this group called Solium, S-O-L-I-U-M. And I never heard of them. I didn't even know what it was. I sat through this presentation about 2 months ago, and these guys know me, and I know them from the investment banking relationship that we brought to them about 4 years ago.
Okay.
And they really like this group, and we really like them, too. They're in Dallas, and the owner's a personal friend of ours and everything.
Right.
And they started talking about Solium, and I'm like, okay, so what does Solium do? And what Solium does is they do corporate stock record keeping.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mind starts working a little bit where I'm going, okay, well, we have all these record keepers that we work with on all these retirement plans, like 401ks and different things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, what an easy thing to add on to your existing suite of services. And then I looked down and I was like, okay, well, you're already doing 401k, you're already doing DB plans, you're already going after endowments and foundations, will be soon. And am I going with too many niches by trying to add this to the arsenal? And my gut tells me just, well, go after all of them and just see what sticks. Is that that same thinking, or am I just kind of like shooting too many bullets at one time?
Well, I was just getting ready to ask you your bandwidth. You know, how are you feeling about your bandwidth right now?
I'm one person with a badass CA and a spouse who's a badass planner, but she's not here most of the time.
Well,
I mean, that's the truth. At least right now in June, whatever today is, the 28th, 2018.
Right.
You know, and I don't have any clients that are wanting to hang me by my toes or anything, but bandwidth concerns. But I'm also sitting here going, okay, well, shit, there's only 250 of these. It's not going to take me that long to put together a little marketing spiel that talks about stock record keeping services. And I bet you there's 4 or 5 clients in here. And, you know, that's probably 300 a year in gross or something, you know. And it's not that hard to call them.
And, you know, also, given the companies that are still being incubated by private equity firms, that will eventually go public, to have developed that expertise, could pay huge dividends, especially what's going on in your quarter, Austin, all the way.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that is a booming opportunity. And when you think about how you differentiate yourself in terms of your value prop from everybody else, you are exposing yourself to areas of business where there's few players. Okay? Few players.
And it's a pain point in the CFO's office, too. I mean, because they're like, man, we can't keep up with it. I mean, they got it on a spreadsheet or something.
Right.
They want somebody like me to call.
Exactly.
Change their 401k plan from Fidelity to T. Rowe Price or something, you know?
Now, but here's the thing. Are you going to start developing an expertise in Rule 144?
Yeah. There's a guy, Colin Anthony, I've actually done some Rule 144 before, and I'm enough to be dangerous, and though enough to be dangerous. But I think that's a niche that we could build out, and we have, they want us to build it out, quite frankly, in the firm.
I think it's important. If you're in San Francisco, or Palo Alto.
He is.
And if you don't understand corporate executive services, the whole stock option component,
you're asleep at the wheel.
I mean, you just named the company. I mean, if I take a drive down, you know, the freeway and cut over to 238, I'm going to be passing Marvel, Google, LinkedIn, you know, you just name it. They're there. And so, you know, Facebook, I just think that is, going to be a key driver, you know, in the future. Here's a statistic. The companies that were created in the 1950s have a 67-year average life. The companies today, now that's down to 15 years.
Wow, I had no idea how that pronounced.
Yeah, down to 15 years. So.
That's the life cycle of the firm because of creative destruction and the advent of technologies that come and go.
Disintermediation, change in business models, acquisitions, so on and so forth. So, you know, that's the business you're in now, see?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be a wonderful complement to what you do. Now, here's what's going to happen to you at some point. You're going to be this guy that has all this knowledge that resides in your domain. Okay? You're going to eventually, you know, you're really doing well with this external collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, you went and got the insurance guy, you're working with CPAs that have various expertises. So, at some point, what's going to happen is you're going to say, well, look, I'm going to keep my book small, and if these folks don't measure up to a certain level of assets, I can't work with them. That's part of it. And or you're going to have to slowly bring on and develop another FA.
Yep. Yeah.
So, but that doesn't have to be done today, but that's eventually where you're headed.
Yeah, well, I mean, at some point, somewhere down the road, I mean, it could be whenever. I don't have any grand plan or anything, but, you know, succession is always on my mind now because I'm like, well, I don't want to be that FA. I'll look up and I'm 60. Something years old and there's nobody to transition to, you know?
Yeah. So
not a good thing.
So that's the eventual kind of thing. As you'll want to take time off and do things.
Yeah.
But you've got a very demanding client base that values your expertise. You know, you have to bring on the right kind of, partner. So that would be you know, kind of item one to kind of think about that.
With an existing FA or something, do something like that to get
the
additional
care. Exactly.
Different ways to look at it, but
And I talk about some of this in the book, you know, onboarding a new team member, bringing them, making them a part of the culture.
And what's the book?
Supernova Advisor Teams, The Pathway to Excellence.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So that's something. Do you spend a lot of time in your car?
I do, yeah.
do you want me to send you a link to have the book on Audible?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay. I'm gonna send it to you on Audible as a freebie. Now, when you go on Audible, there are figures and charts in there, and you can download the PDFs for free, or you can just go ahead and get the book and eyeball them, you know, from that point of view. So
okay.
That's one of the things I'm going to do for you. And,
well, we want to stay engaged with you, you know. I mean, that's the thing is, I mean, we're kind of in that stage where we're evolving, but, you know, it's like I said earlier, you know, we have the skeleton, but we need to put meat on the bones. And so I think it's a little nerve-wracking and exciting all at the same time. So
I just want to be mindful of your ability to scale and your bandwidth.
Because
you're doing
it.
Some wonderful things right now. So number one, if your question is, does it make sense to, go ahead and grab and develop that niche? Yeah, you got two primary niches, which are the, your defined benefit plans. Retirement plans. And then you've got the nonprofit endowment sector. So I like to call that philanthropic services, okay? So you've got that. And now you've got these corporate executive services and capabilities.
Right.
That you are building. And I think that's enough. I think that's where you hitch your wagon to those areas and just learn everything there is to know, and continue to know about those areas. One of the things I think you can do with your COIs as well as the CPAs is teach them Supernova. The average CPA, they're not customer engagement oriented, really.
Okay? Yeah.
So,
I mean, they're not really good marketers. I mean, I hate to say it, they're really not.
Exactly.
Smart as a whip in most cases.
Oh yeah, no question about that. So. Part of the value that you bring is just not just your expertise and knowledge of the investment world and the plans, but think about if they were to understand client engagement through Supernova. So, not that you do them all at once and get them up to speed, but get them to really understand how you work. And for some of them, they would be willing to adopt a little bit of your style. So that's one thing to kind of think about with your COIs. The second, which you talked about, I made a note on it, you were, and this dovetails on, well, what do we do and how often do we meet? Okay, so if you have 4 to 6 COIs, you're giving them a folder. And it's got all the appropriate information in there about your team. So when they are engaging others, all they've got to do is pull out that folder. It's got your team photo in it. It's got your team website. It's got statements of capabilities, pretty much everything that they need to describe your value. So you'll want to do that. And when you have a meeting, doesn't have to be dinners, but sometimes what you're doing is you're kind of providing a reward. And so part of the reward is you're taking them out to a nice dinner. You know, you bring in your folder, they've got their folder, and you're going to talk about, you know, these things, what you're working on, what they're working on, and, you know, who they can enthusiastically endorse, who you can enthusiastically endorse, and your whole support network. So, you have to play it by ear in terms of those relationships and put it in these terms. If you met with them face-to-face 6 times a year, and the other 6 times were phone interactions, then I think that's okay. But it's the personal relationship that's going to drive this thing.
I agree. Yeah, I'm already starting to see that because, I mean, it, you know, there's people that get together and they'll talk and they'll, you know, I'm more interested in the ones that are doing it, you know, that are doers. And in order to really incent them, you've got to have that relationship because the glue of the relationship is what really brings people back into meaningful engagement. Otherwise, it's just all talk and no substance.
Yeah.
Right.
And have one or 2 agenda items. And, you know, look, before we get started, I want to hear from you.
Right.
How are things going? How's the practice? What challenges are you facing, and where are you finding your successes? Okay?
Right. Boom. Right.
So you're taking them through that, and you're listening, and you're taking notes. Like, I've got 2 pages of notes on you right now. The second thing that you do is you advance your agenda. These are the type of clients I enjoy working with. The client that you referred to me is working out, you know, really, really well. I want to thank you. It's the type of individual I enjoy working with. They need to understand your minimums. They need to understand your value proposition. They need to understand the names of your team members. They need to understand who does what on your team. Okay? And so you just continue to advance the strategy. And every time when the meeting ends, they get an executive summary. Short. This is what we discussed. This is what we agreed to. This is what we value. Okay?
Okay.
That'll help you continue to, you know, emphasize the structure with your COIs.
Keep things moving forward, yeah.
Exactly. So don't underestimate so that same service model that you're giving your clients, you know, with the folder and the executive summary are the same things you're going to provide your COIs. So I'm almost, you said one of the other parts of your agenda is you had some things that you felt you wanted to try to get better at or improve upon, that you wanted to ask me. So, you know, feel free to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm going to let Bridget chime in, and then I'll chime
in. Okay.
That's okay.
So, Bridget, tell me what's going on. Chime in.
Oh, I don't... I love... No, I don't need to chime in. I like listening.
Okay.
I don't know what
okay.
I would chime in with after all of that. That was, like, a lot of good stuff. So, I mean, I'm just
okay.
kind of, like, along for the ride, and everything seems
okay.
to be going really well, so I don't know what I would, you know, really
okay.
say, honestly.
So here's, so is your workload, your ability to kind of process all of this, you know, coming along well, you know, for you?
So yeah, I mean, right now it's kind of on and off. It can be crazy or it can be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty busy right now, but I think right now it's fine. I don't have, you know, I know you would like me to have complete control of Kelly's calendar. I don't
right.
know if that's something that I have
control.
I have as much control right now as I can, and I really don't want more, just
uh-huh.
to be honest
uh-huh.
with you. And it doesn't have to do with that I don't think I can do it. It's more of Kelly's wheel is constantly moving.
Sure.
So it would put a real wedge in my wheel.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think
okay.
in a good way. It would be more confusing.
Yeah, but
you
can visibly see his calendar. You know what's on it.
Yeah, so I know what's on it, and, you know, I keep up with the call, with the scheduled calls. I send out all those reminders. I try to, when somebody comes back with something, I try to either answer it or it's something that has to go to him because it's specific to things that are specific to him, putting them on there. It's counterproductive sometimes, I find, for me to add stuff because then it ends up getting changed. So
okay.
it just seems easier for him to do certain
okay.
things for himself, for his calendar. And I think he prefers
okay.
that
right.
versus me
okay.
telling him what he needs to do.
Okay.
Right. I'm just really not. I don't, that's not really what I want to do. I don't think he wants
okay.
me to do that either.
Okay.
She's the best DA we've ever had. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons is because she almost innately knows what Audra, you know, what I'm thinking.
Yeah, on the same page.
We're not, you know, it's, I mean, we're just kind of like, we kind of know how each other thinks, and I think it's, I'm speaking for Audra here because she's not on the call, but I think all three of us kind of had sort of an innate understanding of sort of like the
right.
preferences of each other, you know, like,
okay.
like I know for, I mean, I just kind of know just from experience, like, it's not fair for, in my opinion, for an SA to go and ask a CA to start doing what would normally be SA duties, right?
Right. Exactly.
Expecting the CA, even though, look, Bridget could do my job in many cases,
mm-hmm.
I don't think she necessarily wants to do my job. Right.
No, I
right.
I don't, and I
and,
no.
And so
I don't
want to
be you.
I think there's times where, you know, I would never like go and mention any specific names. That would not be professional. But I've seen in the past where FAs have tried to export their book to their CA. They're in growth mode, but you know they do that kind of stuff. I don't know why, but it happens. And
yeah.
And so I think Bridget does a great job of kind of making sure that things are taken care of that I would normally miss. Like today she sent out like birthday cards. I wouldn't miss that. I'm just not as organized as she is. Now, I'm fairly organized. I mean, I'm more organized than probably a lot of people, but I'm not, it's not my strong suit. And
right.
she's like super organized, and not too organized. You know, there's some people that are too organized, in my opinion, where they're so organized that, you know, you can make an argument that the marginal benefit of the organization in some cases is a detractor of their performance and makes them less effective. She just really is organized enough, you know,
right.
not too much and not too little. It's like she's really got that understanding of being able to sort of assess where it makes sense to really, and our systems and all that are really great. So I think we're doing well in terms of those aspects of things. Where I think, you know, on my end, where I feel like I'm not really doing as good a job as I could is on those follow-ups with these exams. And
okay.
So,
well, work in progress, right?
That, yeah, I mean, yeah, I probably am. Are clients pissed off about it? No, but I think it's more of an issue of like, well, what could the experience be like if Kelly really got his act together? Yeah. And that's where I think we're missing out is elevating that aspect of the experience because I haven't been as diligent there as I would like to be.
Okay, I'm going to just chime in real quick. If you send one of those, though, just send one that you've done recently over to Curtis so he can look at it. Because Curtis, here's the thing. He does, like, the executive summary is like, it would take me an hour to write this. So maybe Kelly's not spending an hour, maybe he is. But if you look at these, you can imagine if he schedules so many calls in a day and he wants to send out the same type of summary, it would be, like, daunting because there is so they're really, really, really good, but they're, like, almost too good. Like, how can he, you know, I don't want to say shorten them, but, like, there's so much in them. I think it's all really, really good, but it's so many things that it's hard to wrangle. Okay. I think that's the reason maybe, I think that's what he's saying is, you know, I'm not getting them all
so
done.
Suffice it to say, they're more than two short paragraphs with bullets.
I think part of it is I didn't really realize this about my personality, but, I mean, I've seen it in trying to build up this marketing thing, and Audra laughs about it, and Bridget, I think, understands it too. But I tend to work things from the inside out. I mean, really what we need there is we just need a Reader's Digest condensed version. We probably do need, like, maybe three or four bullet points and just leave the finer details to, you know, my personal follow-through and execution as opposed to trying to articulate that in the form of, like, a follow-up email or something. But it's part of the reason why I probably will be pretty damn good at, you know, these things and why weird aspects of, you know, plan world that nobody would touch because, and, you know, I can do the details and I can do the broader stuff too. And, you know, that's a gift and it's a curse, you know?
Yeah.
And so I have to really, you know, this kind of feedback, like what we're doing right now is helpful because even though it may not be easy to hear, I'm like, well, she's got a damn good point. And she's made it in a non-negative way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, look, just give them what time it is. Don't tell them how to build a damn clock, you know? That's all they want to know is what time it is anyway, right?
Yeah, send me one. I tell you what, send me one, and then I will send back my view of the condensed version, okay?
All right.
And, you know, you can take that for whatever it's worth, but, you know, send me one if you feel comfortable with it. You can take the names off if you like, and then I will send it back to you with more of what might be more of a condensed version that can be filled out fairly quickly. So, you know, let me take a look. And sometimes I recognize that you do want to say more. And so that's your flexibility. One last thing. So that would be helpful. The one last thing I think we want to do before we close. Did I send you a client acquisition matrix? It was just kind of a one-page form I created.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure I've got it in an email someplace, but can I pull it up instantly right yet? No.
Okay. So what I did is I created this matrix. And on the left side, it's got going down, it's got strategy, enthusiastically endorsed model, 90-day free look, unsolicited referrals, centers of influence, mastermind group, community boards, niche markets, social media, and then the VISPA referral method. So the person, which quite frankly is probably you, it's a way of looking at what's my focus, where am I spending my time, what prospects were generated for the week, who was converted, who turned into a new client, and what was our goal in these areas. So all it does is it just brings you back to your activity and what you accomplished, okay? And you can use it or not use it. You can look at it. It can be looked at once a week. It could be looked at every other week. I don't see you having a problem with client acquisition, but these are all of the steps and stages for client acquisition.
Well, we need to systematize that, and then we have our gold folders, which are all our prospect files, and this is another area of weakness on my part, and it's something I just got behind on. I mean, I call them, but I don't have it systematized in the calendar the way it needs to be or should be. Now, I've got a box, and I've been looking at this box for way too long. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say how long. I told Bridget, I've been like, okay, I'm going to put these in the calendar, and you know, I'm going to put the two-week reminder for follow-up every 2 weeks or whatever. I think Superintendent is 30 days, but I like to do it every 2 weeks because I think it's too long, but that's just my own
thing. Right.
But I've been looking at this damn box with these gold folders on here for way too long. I mean, it's on me. I mean,
well, it's probably because there's like 75 folders in there.
Yeah, well,
or 100. I look at that box, and I'm like drowning in it.
Well, here's the thing. If it's not on the calendar, it's not going to get done.
That's
so,
right. Or it might not get done as fast as it could or as efficiently. Or, you know what I mean? I don't want to be too structured, but I need to get more structured than what I got, you know?
Right, right.
And she took the time to build those folders, so I'm like, well, the least I can do is put them on a calendar on a Saturday morning or something and put a recurrence of every 2 or 3 weeks or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You need to get in there and do it. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
not me. So I'll send that, you know, to everyone, and, you know, you can look at that matrix. Somebody told me the other day when I kind of created it, it's like, okay, I can see the gaps on my client acquisition strategy. I can see what I'm doing, but I can see the things that are gaps. So this may put some things in perspective for you. Well, again, I just have to say that I think that, you know, you're really doing great. You know, these things are all a work in progress.
I feel good about what we're doing. You know, we've done it in the midst of a lot of what could have been chaos where, you know, our team members have taken chaos and kept it under control. So I'm really proud of Audra and Bridget and the job they're doing because it's made it easier to go through the transition. You know, I mean, we're getting there. We're getting there, and we're going to get there. And it's an evolutionary thing where we just step by step, just take it a step at a time. So I'm glad to be doing it with. And, you know, we can't thank you enough, Curtis, because I think you've been really helpful and continue to be a great resource for us. So thanks.
Oh, I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. So the two things I'm going to do is I'm going to send out this client acquisition matrix, and then I'm going to send you a free copy of Audible. You could put it on your smartphone and download it there. So there's going to be a key that you have to input in order to access it. And you don't necessarily have to sign on to Audible to receive this. The guy that did the narration was really, really good. So it came out really, really well. So I will get that out between today and tomorrow, along with the instructions of how to download it. And And that's really it. So go ahead and develop that extra niche and be mindful of your bandwidth, you know, going forward.
Yep.
So, I will look forward for our next scheduled time, and Audra can, you know, access the call through the link. And, you know, and that's about it. Have a great rest of the week and weekend.
Thanks, yeah,
happy
you
July
too.
4th.
Okay, yes, you too. All righty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.